Oh, the secrets come out, and we all have them, but there's a better way. Grab your notes, and at the very top, let me read you a part of the Bible. Anyone who hides their sins doesn't succeed, but anyone who admits their sins and gives them up finds mercy. You can hide a sin, but that can't heal you, but God can. You can hide a secret, and that can't cause you to grow, but God can. And we're in this series trying to figure out, how do we bring the secret stuff to God? Because we all have it. We all have got the stuff that we keep over in the shadows and we keep over in the margins. We don't want anybody to know about it. It's the secret stuff. How do we bring that stuff to God so we can get some help? And we've been talking about various things during this series. And today is the super, super secret. It's probably the cultural secret that is the most kept out in the dark. Today the topic is porn. Pornography. That's what we're going to talk about. And so buckle up and look in your notes, write the big idea down. Jesus helps us avoid, escape, and reverse the impact of porn. Now, if you're new here, welcome. You might be thinking, why did I pick today to come to church? You know, why would they talk about that church? Well, because it's life. At Eastlake, we're wanting to address some of the topics that we all go through, not so we can embarrass anybody. This talk today is not going to condemn anybody. The goal today really is to spread some compassion, some help, some understanding, and say that there's no secret that we have to live with alone, that we can bring our secrets to God. Even something like porn can be something we bring to God. And so hopefully today you'll catch some compassion and you'll understand that there's help in this area. And I get that not everybody agrees when it comes to pornography. Some people just see it as a carnival ride or a way to have some fun. And, you know, don't rain on my parade. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And I get that's part of the idea. But the truth is, when you start to hear the secret stuff of the impact, you know, I can hide a secret, but that doesn't stop it from impacting my life or other people around me. And when you hear the secret, in the 30 years that I've been a marriage and family counselor, in the 30 years that I've talked with people and the secrets have come out, this is what it normally sounds like. Someone heard that we were going to be doing this topic at Eastlake, and so they sent this email this week. I struggled with pornography for years before becoming a Christian and before I was married. I assumed that after I got married, I wouldn't want to use porn. But not long after getting married, I struggled with being physically attracted to my beautiful wife. She just didn't measure up to the photoshopped make-believe women on the screen. I was so unhappy and felt disconnected from God, my wife, and my church. It was like I was on the outside looking in. I had just concluded that I won't ever be victorious, and I can only hope someday God will forgive me. The secret stuff, the stuff that goes on the inside. And I want to start with just sort of talking through the realities of what goes on in our brains when we're involved in pornography. If you're looking at your outline on the back, turn it over. There's some resources there. And down at the bottom, there's this great group called Fight the New Drug. They got this awesome website. And they're making this correlation that when someone uses pornography, the science of the brain, the brain chemistry, is going through the same sort of things that drug addicts go through and alcoholics go through, that there's a process that's happening. And you can go to that website and read the long version. Let me give you the short version. There's a thing called a reward pathway. Every person has it. It comes standard. And the reward pathway is what helps us find our way back to the things in life that are meaningful. It helps us repeat the things that matter to us. And the reward that we get is the chemical release into our brain's natural process, chemicals called dopamine. Now they're finding some other chemicals that happen as well. And when the dopamine is released, man, it feels fantastic. It's just awesome. And that rewards us. And a pathway is developed, and we continue to go back because we want the reward. We want that feeling. And it's the same exact experience, you know, they've studied this, that a meth addict has or a drug addict has. If you're familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous, a long time ago, they discovered that there must be some other process going on. So they asked people to consider that alcoholism was a disease. They were able to figure out that there's two things going on here. I'm taking alcohol, which is a chemical, and I'm putting it in my body, but there's some other process that's going on. They called it a disease. The process is the reward pathway. I get up and I take alcohol, and it activates the reward pathway, and the dopamine gets poured into my system, a chemical into my brain, and now I got both things going on. I got the alcohol, and I got this awesome dopamine that's going on. It's the brain chemistry. It's the science behind it all. Let me read you a part of the Bible that is kind of interesting. It says, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to death, to sin. And sin, when it gives birth, is grown full grown, it gives birth to death." Let me read it again to you. "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." It's describing a process. Now, here's the problem with the process, and I know this from my days of addiction when I was addicted to drugs, is in our brains, when we continue to use the reward pathway, and our brain keeps dumping dopamine and these other cocktails, the brain at some point says, that's too much, and so it tries to trim back the dopamine. It causes the dopamine to not have as much effect, so we don't feel as fantastic, and then guess what? We need to go back and up the ante and use more of the alcohol or more of the drug. I had a buddy I used to stay over at his house. His dad was an alcoholic. We all knew it, but we all overdrank. I'm a teenager, and I saw his dad one morning get up. He was open about his drinking. He got up, he went into the kitchen, and he reached underneath the sink, and he took out a half gallon of whiskey, took the top off, and he just started to chug it. It's like 7:30. And I remember sitting at the table looking at him going, there is no way that tastes good this early in the morning. But he needed it. Because he'd been drinking so long, for so many years, that when he drank, he didn't get the dopamine rush that he needed. Unless he got up at 7 o'clock in the morning and started drinking. Dragged away and enticed. And that's why it feels like when you get into porn or you get into alcohol or drugs, that's why it feels like you're drug away. You can hardly stop the process. And then eventually it gives birth to death. Listen to what a doctor at Princeton said about it. He's testifying before a Senate committee. Listen to how he describes it. "It's as though we have devised a form of heroin usable in the privacy of one's own home and injected directly to the brain through the eyes." And he's talking about pornography. I knew a businessman that told me, said he'd go on business trips, and it became harder and more difficult for him to do his job, these presentations. This is a big, high-level guy. Almost lost his job because he said he was up all night using porn. It was very difficult to be ready for his meetings in the morning. Why? Because he just kept rewarding himself, dopamine, rewarding himself, and pretty soon it lost its edge. And he just kept trying. There's an old story that circulates around Alaska, and it's how the Native Americans, the Eskimos, used to, a wolf would be in a pack, and they would try to come in and maybe kill a dog or even attack a person. And what they would do is they would send one wolf into the camp to scout it out, and oftentimes someone would be injured or a dog would be killed or something would happen. But the Eskimos, these Native Americans, they figured out what to do. They'd take a knife, and they would dip it in seal blood. They would coat this knife with seal blood. And then they would take it out on the edge of the camp, and they would let it freeze. And then they would put it in the snow, blade face up. Well, the pack of wolves would come around, and they'd smelt this blood. They'd send this wolf in. And the wolf would come over and smell it and check it out and start to lick it a little bit. And the more it licked the knife, the blood would begin to thaw. And now it's warm blood. And so it's tasting better, and they're licking it even more. And now the entire knife is thawed out, and they're licking this seal blood off, never realizing that as they're licking the knife, now they're cutting their own mouth, the wolf's own tongue. Its own blood is getting onto, I know, how's your mouth feel right now? Pretty good. And they're just licking and licking and licking. It's getting warmer. It's a frenzy going on. There's just blood everywhere. They can't tell the difference between seal blood, their own blood. And finally, the wolf cuts its mouth so bad that it dies. Now, the Eskimos, you know how they are. They love all animals. They're all together and everything. They're hoping to send a message to the pack. Don't come in here. It'll kill you. They're not wanting all the wolves to lose their life. They're just hoping the message will get sent. This isn't working. Maybe you've heard this old saying. Let me read it to you. It'll come up on the screen. Sin always takes you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Now, I understand how pornography is, and people think, there was a guy at work the other day that everybody was talking about porn, and one guy said, man, my wife and I use that stuff. Very casual, like it was it's not a huge deal, but it is a huge deal. It can wreck relationships. It can wreck my life. Now, you might be thinking, you might be here today, and maybe that's, you use porn, or it goes on in your life, you know, something you think, like, I don't want to be the wolf. It's like, there's good news. There's a way out. I want to talk to you about some stuff that I have seen work. I've talked with people, and these are ways that God gives people hope. So number one in your notes, right? Avoid. Set up guardrails. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. A simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Guardrails. It's a driving analogy. You're driving along and you have guardrails, and guardrails are set up so you don't drive off a cliff or drive up into danger. There's a place that it's safe to drive my car, and there's a place that it's not safe to drive my car. And guardrails protect me from the stuff that's not safe, and we need them in our lives. We have a saying at Eastlake, we call it pink, pink, blue, blue. Blue stands for the dudes, and pink stands for the girls. It's just a guardrail. It's understanding that, you know, who you spend your time with, who you share your heart with. If you're a married man, you don't hang out with a married woman, someone else's wife. You don't go to lunch or coffee or talk about their life. Or I just need someone I can talk to. Well, find a girl then. Because it's a guardrail. How many people? I have talked to a lot of people that have been trapped in adultery. In 30 years of working with families, a lot. Too many. And it always comes back to the same thing. It just starts with a conversation. Phone call, texting, it's Facebooking, it's no big thing. It always starts. You heard the analogy of the frog in the kettle? I mean, that's a real thing. They started those experiments in the 1800s. They figured out you could take a frog and put it into a kettle of water, and if you could get the frog to stay there, if you turned the water up slow enough, the frog would acclimate to the temperature and never jump out. It would stay in the water when the water was way too hot and unsafe. It wouldn't jump out of the kettle because it had acclimated. There's a question I have for you. Do you think as a culture we're acclimating to porn? Do you know I had a clip I wanted to show today just to give you an idea of what you could see on TV right now, but the creative team got a hold of me and said, that's way too far, you're not showing that. So I didn't. But I'm just saying to you, do you know there's I watch things on TV now, just commercials, that in my day as a kid would have probably been seen as pornographic back in my day, which is way, way ago. I mean, you know, it's just, as a culture, are we the frog in the kettle? Is it getting worse and worse and worse and worse? We're just not catching it? Guardrails, 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 guardrails. I tell guys, set up guardrails so you don't put yourself in a situation that the temptation is too strong for you. Some people think, oh, you know, I'll be able to handle it. No, you won't. No, you won't be able to handle it. When I sat with the couple that came into my office, and these people looked like they'd, you know, just walked out of Nordstrom, hair just perfect, dress just perfect. She looks great, he looks great. Then had sex in ages. They're fighting, they can't get along, and out comes the secret. He's using porn. Then had sex in forever. She's like, what? You won't touch me, but you're in the bathroom using porn? He didn't know what to say because he had been trapped and drug away. Have to die. Secrets won't heal you, but God can. There's hope. Guardrails. Set up guardrails. If you struggle at all with images and you don't have a filter on your computer, put a filter on your computer. There's a resource on the back of the notes. You can put a filter and it will send a message out to whoever you choose. I have friends that have done that. Their message comes to me every single week and I'm like, bravo, no problems this week. If you really want to stop using porn, put your mother-in-law on that list. Have her get your messages. You'll be clean as a whistle. Guardrails, 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 guardrails. Set up guardrails in your life. Don't think you're going to be strong enough when you get there, because you're not going to be. Look what it says in the Bible about this whole thing. God wants you to be holy and to stay away from sexual sins. Stay away from sexual sins. Not try to deal with the temptation in the midst of it. It will be too much for you. It is prideful to think I'll be able to handle it, because you won't. He wants each of you to learn to control your own body. Guardrails. In a way that's holy and honorable. Don't use your body for sexual sin like people who don't know God. What's he saying? God's got your back. He'll help you set up some guardrails. Set them up in your life. Here's an important area. Who are the influencer in your life? I want to ask you a question. Who's been the most influential person in your life teaching you about sex? What do they say about strippers? Pornography, adultery, influencers. Who's been the influencers in your life? Are you happy about it? Is it working? I was a real late bloomer when it came to the table to do drugs and any of that type of stuff. I was a junior in high school. I hadn't even done any drugs and drinking or anything like that. And there was this one kid that kept pestering me and pestering me and pestering me. I want to get you high. I want to get you high. I want to get you high. I want you to smoke some weed. I'm coming to your house. And, my mom was a drug addict. I saw drugs. I mean, I didn't want to go down that route. I was tempted for sure. I had no guardrails. I'm coming to your house tomorrow, and I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to grab you in my truck, and we're going to smoke some weed. Sure enough, picks me up in the morning at my house. His sister's in the car, who I had a crush on since like kindergarten, and so rolls the joint. Let's smoke the weed. I didn't want to look like some dweeby guy that wasn't strong enough to smoke weed, so I smoked the weed with him, and then after that, I had years of addiction. Why? I cared more about their opinion of myself than I cared about my own future. Do you have anybody in your life? They don't care about your future. Who's influencing you when it comes to sexual stuff? Set up some guardrails. What movies do you watch? Who's in your life? Where I work, there's this big, long kind of a desk where the receptionist sits. And if you stand at just the right place, when she leans over, you can look right down her top. And so we have different types of, girls will come in, different ones. And I figured out guardrails. I had to stand in a certain location that when that happened, I couldn't even see down her top if I wanted to. I didn't want to be right in the position where when she leaned over, I had to go through the temptation, to not look. I put myself in a position where I couldn't look. Now, some people will say, well, the frog should have never jumped into the kettle. You know what I would say? Never should have been in the kitchen. If you're not in the kitchen, you're not going in the kettle. Guard rails. Enough of a soapbox. Number two. Escape. Be honest and get help. And this is the part where I'll come off the sidelines a little bit. And because I'm not going to do this talk from the perspective of the ivory tower. I've never struggled with sexual stuff, because I have. It's the part where I'll come out of the bleachers and onto the field. And, I have no idea how I didn't get involved in porn, but I had sexual stuff. And I had issues when I got married. And I kept them all a secret. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even talk to God about it. I was Christian. I didn't know how to start the conversation with him. I had sexual issues, lust issues, problems in how I viewed women. And I brought that all into my marriage. I didn't tell my wife, Clarice. I didn't tell my best friends. Nobody knew. My foster brother and sister, nobody knew I was struggling in that stuff. And And I had to try to figure out, can I take a trust step with God? Can I trust him and be honest with him about what I'm going through in this area of my life, which we quarantine and we keep so secret? Don't tell anybody about that. They'll just think you're gross, and you know you've thought it too. I'm going to keep it all a secret. Look what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and that's the scary part. It's no big deal. It's not hurting anybody. And the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I had to take a trust step with God. And I had to start to talk to God about it. And here's what he led me to do. I had to get some human being that I could share it with and be accountable to. I was so fortunate. I had a friend that had some experience. They were older than I was. They'd been through some schooling, and it was terrifying. It was a thing we never want to do. It was the worst to have to sit down with him and look him in the eye and say, I've got some sexual stuff going on in my life, and I need help. It was very difficult to be honest. I was honest with God first, and I to this day believe that's where the strength came from. Like, God, I know you see this stuff. I might as well start to talk to you about it. And eventually put a person in my life I can talk to. It was difficult to share it and to talk about it and have him support me. We set up a time where every Friday I had to go and meet with him. Every single Friday he asked me the same question. Did you fall this week? Did you sin this week? Every Friday I knew it was coming. And let me tell you, there were some Tuesdays that I didn't sin because I didn't want to look in his face on Friday. I knew that Friday was coming. And secrets won't heal you, but God can. And God did. We got many, many, many years of victory now. But it wasn't easy. I had to be honest with God, and then I had to be honest with another person. And you have to wait and pray and see who God will bring you. Just don't go blab it to anybody. Hey, guess what? I got some sexual issues. Want to hear about it? No. And don't go blab it at home and tell your husband or wife right off the bat. We have people here that are trained. They've been to school. They know how to talk about this stuff. They know how to love people and accept them. If you need someone to talk to, there's somebody for you. You work it out. I had to put a plan together and work it out and walk through it. And then the victory arrived. And I still walk in it. Now here's the problem with the secrets. It makes you feel so shameful. The promises that will be cleansed from unrighteousness. Everything that's going on in my life that's not right because of anything sexually that happened. Now let's open it up. Someone did something to me. I pressured someone else. Up until this time, I pressured this girl when I was a kid to do something sexual, and I came into Christian. It bothered me all my life. She was so smart, she didn't even let me, like, touch her. But I was bothered all my life that I pressured her and pressured her and pressured her and pressured her one night. Just pressured her, and it bothered me all my life. It wasn't right, and when I finally got honest with God, he cleansed me of it, purified me. Isn't that what we all want? Fresh start, clean slate. And then when you have a clean slate, this is the great news, and this is how we'll wrap it up today. Reverse. God can leverage your victory. So that's the great part. Is healing is never about just being healthy. It's being about healthy with others. My healing playing forward into other people. Here's what it looks like. How many people are pet lovers? Raise your hand. You like animals, dogs, cats, gerbils, lizards, whatever. You know, you like pets. Yeah, you like this story. So this little boy goes into a pet store, and his parents said he could buy a puppy. He's all by himself, and he's looking at all these puppies in this kind of a bin. They have these puppies for sale, and they're all so super, super cute. And one little puppy, it doesn't seem as able to walk around as easily as the other little puppies, and he notices that its leg is kind of crooked and off to the side. And he asks the person in charge of the puppies, he said, hey, what's wrong with that puppy? He says, oh, you don't want that puppy. That puppy's got a lame back leg. And the little boy says, that's the one I want. And the man says, no, it's the same price. I mean, I'm telling you, we already know it's got a lame back leg. You don't have to take that puppy. He goes, that's the one I want. You see, the little boy had a large metal brace on his own leg. And when the man handed him the puppy, he looked at him and he said, "You're going to need me because I know what it's like." That's what church is all about. I mean, I'm not standing up here today wanting to tell you my secrets, you know, because I like to. I'm doing it because that's how we can live together, so we can see, hey, we're all in this together. Religion doesn't heal anybody, and neither does church. But God can. God can. And look what the Bible says. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others when they're troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You've got some victory to share. If you open up and get honest, at some point you'll have some victory to share. That's what church is. That's what it looks like. Now, the bottom line today, and just write it in your notes. The mercy of God is stronger than the power of porn. Now, remember, the problem is these, you know, dopamine's going everywhere, and our brain is elastic, so it can make these pathways. But it's like Tetris. You can make new pathways. And look what the Bible says about that. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." New reward pathways. That's what we're shooting for. Now, at the end of the talk today, you might be thinking to yourself, "Oh, come on, man. You know, I use porn, or I know people use porn. I can keep it in its own little porn compartment. It doesn't get away or get into the rest of my life." And I think that way about life, too, sometimes. You know, it's a big closet organ. I can just organize it, keep this over here, not let it touch this over here. And I always like to think about this video from Titanic when I think this way, that it all mixes together. You can't keep it compartmentalized, porn or anything else. Check this video. It's real short, but it really says it well. Check this out.
Water 14 feet above the keel in 10 minutes. In the 4P, in all three holds, and in boiler room 6.
That's right, sir.
When can we get underway, damn it?
That's 5 compartments. She can stay afloat with the first 4 compartments breached, but not 5. Not 5. As she goes down by the head, the water will spill over the tops of the bulkheads at E deck from one to the next, back and back. There's no stopping it.
The pumps. If we open the doors...
The pumps buy you time, but minutes only. From this moment, no matter what we do, Titanic will founder.
But this ship can't sink.
She's made of iron, sir. I assure you, she can. And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
It's a mathematical certainty. And what I've wanted to share with you today, that pornography is a mathematical certainty, but the mercy of God is stronger.